Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. On today's episode, I have the pleasure of bringing back Danielle Roberts. When Danielle last appeared, she was on episode 26, How to Navigate Medicare for Yourself or Aging Parents. It was an amazing episode. I highly encourage you to check it out, especially if you are a caregiver of someone who is elderly. She just provides a lot of great resource. And even if you're not, if you have aging parents, you should definitely go check this out because she's a chock full of information. And when we were talking, we talked about her profession as an insurance agent. And the more we got talking about it, I realized that it could be a great side hustle for moms who want to create some extra income, but don't want to work a ton of hours or need a ton of flexibility with their schedule. And so we recorded this episode as well, and it was phenomenal. I'm excited to dive in. But before we do, I just wanted to check in with you. I know we had the new year. Happy New Year. 2022 is, at least in the Northeast, starting off with a bang. I know COVID cases are up rampant and a lot of people are being forced to quarantine or even to self-isolate just because I know a lot of schools are closing and everything seems to be shutting down, whether it's intentional or not, but that's just the way things seem to be here. And so I hope you're taking this time to kind of pause first off and reflect. And I would just love to hear what your money goals are for this upcoming year. Please send me them or reach out if you're struggling with them and you're not even sure what your money goals should be. I'd love to connect with you. Feel free to go to investormama.com/connect. You can find all my social media handles there, which is just Investor Mama, or you can email me, Jen, J-E-N, at investormama.com. And I really would love to hear where you're at, what your mental health state is. I know, especially for a lot of you who are unable to get childcare right now, I know for me personally in this new year, I need to get my health back in order. I kind of started back in October and then life hit and I fell off the wagon with regards to working out and just eating right. So I would like to get back on that wagon. And if you're also in a similar situation, also let me know because maybe we could be accountability partners. It's just, I know how hard it is, especially now where we are, at least it's cold and gloomy and hard to stay motivated. But I know for me at least, I really want to do it. I want to do it for the kids. I want to have a healthier lifestyle. So that's kind of where my mindset is at right now. And I'd love to hear where yours is. So please reach out. A lot of the episodes that we have recorded, we're getting near the end of the last bulk. And so if you know anyone who would be a great guest, also let me know. I'd be happy. Or if you would like to be a guest on the Investor Mama Podcast, reach out. I'm super excited to start recording again. It's going to be amazing. I'm super pumped for it. That's what I enjoy most. Yeah, so really, I really would love to hear from you. Again, please do not be a stranger. And so let's jump into today's episode with Danielle. I'm very excited, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. So without further ado, Danielle, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Why don't we begin with your money story?
Yeah, sure. So I am the co-founder of Boomer Benefits. We are a licensed insurance agency that helps baby boomers navigate their entry into Medicare, which is a fancy way of saying that we assist them with Medicare supplement insurance. But because Medicare, like all insurance, is so confusing, we do a lot of education upfront on Medicare itself and teaching people how their benefits work. And this is a business that I started about 15 years ago, working from home just by myself. And now we have almost 60 employees.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, before we jump in, why don't we start with what does being a sales agent or insurance sales agent even entail?
So the thing about an insurance agent is that you're selling a product that isn't something tangible. So the great thing in terms of selling insurance is you don't necessarily have to have an office space to get started. You don't have any perishables sitting on the shelf. There's no need to store inventory. It is just selling really a guarantee, right? That you're selling a policy that's backed by a guarantee for an insurance company. And even though there's lots of different types of insurance, health insurance, life insurance, disability insurance, auto insurance, homeowners insurance, the way that it works for an agent is that you assist a policyholder with making some decisions and selecting coverage. And then on the back end of that, you are paid usually an upfront commission and then renewals on that for as long as someone keeps the policy. So it's a really great business to get into in terms of if you need to start a business and you want to be in sales and you're looking for something you can do and have the freedom of being an entrepreneur, but you don't have a ton of upfront capital to get started selling some type of product or service that would require more than that, it's a really easy way for you to make some extra money on the side and potentially grow it into something as a bigger business.
So let's say someone is interested in becoming an agent. What would the process look like to becoming one?
So what I did, which I'm here in Texas, is I just went to the Texas Department of Insurance website and I looked up the licensing information. So every state in the nation will have a Department of Insurance and you can go directly to their website and look up what you need to do to get licensed. And in most states, because I'm now licensed in 48 states, but we started with Texas, in most states, there's going to be a requirement that you pass a licensing exam. And so the first step to doing that is to take a course. Here in Texas, there's a 3-day course that you can go to in person where they prep you for the exam. Lots of different continuing education companies offer these courses online. So let's say you're working and you couldn't take 3 days to go to a class. You could do a self-study version that you do in your own time on evenings and weekends until you feel that you're ready. And then you'll set an appointment with their testing provider and you go there and you take the exam, provided that you pass the exam, which isn't all that hard. If you do a relatively good amount of studying and getting yourself familiar with insurance laws and concepts, most people pass on their first try, and the ones that don't usually pass on their second try. You get that done, and as soon as you pass the exam, then you fill out the application for licensing on the Department of Insurance website, and they will issue you a license number, which you then can use to go and get set up with various insurance companies that you want to sell for. And if you think that going it on your own like that would be hard to do, you certainly could also find a local insurance broker or insurance company that is hiring for insurance agents, and they will guide you through the process. So there are people that come in as an independent like myself because I wanted to work for myself. There's also people that might join a big company like Humana or Blue Cross Blue Shield as an insurance agent, and they would, of course, help you through that licensing process. So lots of different ways to go about it, just depending on what your end goal is.
So a couple quick follow-up questions on that. One is, how long does it take to the test itself and then to kind of prep for it? Would you recommend, like, is it something you could do in like a month, 2 months? And then is there usually an upfront fee or like, because I know certain licensings, you need to pay something to take the exam.
Yeah. So I think the course that we send our agents through now, which is the one that I did originally, the in-person class, I think costs $299. And the self-study option is quite a bit less expensive than that. So depending on how you go about it, if you do the self-study, you're going to pay less money than you would for the in-person class. And then the licensing exam is pretty cheap. I think it's under $100. And you will then have a license application fee, which may be another $50 or so to actually apply. So this is something that you literally could spend maybe $500 max, and you go through getting the training, the licensing, and the actual license application itself all done and be literally in a place where you could then start to sell products as soon as you contract for them.
And if you were to go to a Blue Cross Blue Shield or another insurance company, like you said, do they typically pay for the exam and pay for the course?
Yeah, a lot of times they will. So if you were thinking, you know, I really would like to get an insurance license, but I'd like to learn the ropes by working for a company for a while before I consider going out on my own as a broker or an independent agent, those big companies like that will typically have their own internal trainings and typically would pay for your licensing. I know that here, when we hire new agents, that we offer an option if they need help with getting licensed up front, that we'll pay for the licensing. And then later we can deduct that out of their paychecks or commissions later on. So depending on who you start with, whether it's a big insurance company or even a local brokerage, you're probably going to get some assistance with paying for that out of the insurance company or broker's pocket instead of having to front all of that on your own.
And so now we're living in a COVID world. Is it still easy to become an insurance sales agent if you wanted to? Like, let's say for someone who may have gotten let go, if they wanted to work for like a big company first to get their feet wet, are companies still hiring now?
Yeah, they are still hiring. I would imagine there's probably some delays on processing, right? Because at the Department of Insurance, there's got to be people there to process new licensing requests. I've heard some rumors here in Texas that they may allow people to go through temporary licensing, which is a lot less stringent, just to get started. And then later, when COVID and all the thing passes and people are back to work and they're processing applications normally, you can then upgrade to a permanent license. So if you check the Department of Insurance website in your state, you should probably be able to see if there's any workarounds like that that they have going on right now, just until everyone gets back to work. There may be some special rules in your state just because of that delay in the ability to process the applications. But all the same, you know, you could go through that same process, and it might just be that the license actually takes a little bit longer to get to you than it would before all of this happened.
And do these companies just pay commission-based, or do they actually give like a little bit of a base salary and then you get commission on top of it?
You'll find differing things. So if you go and work for an actual carrier, like let's say you see you're on monster.com or something, or Career Builder, one of these websites, and you see that a local insurance company is hiring for direct sales reps, a lot of times those will be positions that will pay a base salary plus commission. And so you could start that respect. If you're going independent and you decide you're going to get contracted to sell a variety of products, but you're going to do this on your own, then of course it's a straight commission type of thing. So when I originally started, that's how I went about it. So I can remember being like, I couldn't wait until the day when I earned $500 a month as an agent, because I felt like that would be really it. And you know, back then that was a big goal. And of course we're leagues and leagues beyond that now, but I remember feeling that way. So if you don't have a lot of capital and you really feel like you could learn faster by going with an insurance company like that, that's a place where you could make a little bit of a softer landing in terms of finances, because they're going to pay you something. With our agents here, when we hire employees here in our call center to sell for Boomer Benefits, we pay them a base hourly rate and then commissions on top of that. And the base rate is just enough to keep the lights on. So it's designed to be something to help you pay your mortgage until those first few months you get some sales in the hopper and you start earning a monthly commission check. But it certainly makes it a lot easier for the new people who come to work with us, because they at least have that to rely on. And they're not, you know, worried about, Jesus, you know, when am I going to earn my first commission, and how long will it take me to get to a place where I can afford to pay my bills? So you could find both of those avenues available to you, and you could go with the one that just works best for your situation.
Yeah, because I feel like now with a lot of layoffs starting to happen, I can imagine moms and even dads, or anyone for that matter, being a little bit apprehensive about the job search. And sure, at least if they could find something that maybe even has a little bit of a base, but a potential commission versus straight commission, especially if they've never done sales or anything entrepreneurial before, it's a good gateway into it.
Yeah, I think so too. And the thing to keep in mind with the insurance field is, you know, this is a field that doesn't really suffer in an epidemic like this the way other fields might, because even though this whole thing is going on, you know, people need health insurance more than ever. So like our business hasn't slowed down a bit with people needing help with Medicare, and even other types of things like auto insurance, homeowners insurance, you know, those are still things that you have to have. So if you are in an industry where your world has just been shaken, or you've been laid off because of the coronavirus, you may be looking for another type of industry where you're going to be able to have some assurances that this isn't going to go belly up the next time we have a surge in coronavirus. And insurance is really a field that provides that. I know that here our agency was deemed an essential business by the Department of the Treasury, and so we've been able to keep our doors open and keep all of our people working. The ones that are fearful, that don't want to come in, we let them just be at home for as long as they need to, and they can come back when they want. But most of our employees here were really grateful and happy that we were able to keep our doors open, just put some things in place to make it a safer work environment for everyone. So it's great to know that we don't have to worry about laying people off at this time, because people are still out there buying health insurance through an epidemic like this.
No, that's so true and so poignant. Again, this, I feel like with this economy, I'm already starting to see friends starting to lose jobs. So it's not just, you know, certain sectors. I feel like it's really starting to hit, especially now in the Northeast, especially with New York and New Jersey. So it's great for people to have options. So if you're not, if you do have a job and you want to create extra income, this is a great way to go. And if you have lost your job, this is also a great way to go. Is it selling insurance kind of like something you just like pick up the phone and you start making random calls to? Is there a strategy? Is there a plan? Kind of, can you walk me through what, like, I guess a typical day for someone in this field would be?
Sure. So if you work for a company and they're hiring you to sell their product, typically they're going to be providing leads to you. Just like any other sales position, some of those people you're going to call and they're going to be happy to hear from you and ready to do business. And some of them are going to have forgotten all about the fact that they requested quotes online last week. And so you do have to have a little bit of thick skin in any type of sales position to know that you're hunting for nine no's before you get a yes. You know, they say 9 out of 10 people are going to say no, but that it's that 10th person who says, yes, I want to talk to you about this product that you're looking for. And so, you know, you do have to have a fairly thick skin to get started, depending on where you go. You know, like here in our agency, we have leads coming in off of our website every day, Medicare beneficiaries that are asking for quotes. And so that makes those phone calls that our team is making a little easier because a lot of people remember that they requested these. But all the same, you're always going to have those folks out there that will hang up on you or tell you that between the time that they requested information and now, they've already gone another route. So you do have to think about it as a sales position because there's always going to be some level of rejection in something like that. When I started, I was cold calling front door businesses, walking in with my business card and saying, hey, do you have group health insurance? When it renews, I'd love to have an opportunity to quote and see if we can find you some cheaper coverage. So it was literally in-person front door cold calling. And it wasn't until later that I got involved in Medicare and changed the product that we sold because I became more familiar with the insurance industry and decided a different route that I wanted to go. But even still, you know, that was a couple of years of kind of some hard sales work. And now to end up where I'm at in a lucrative industry with a business that is very healthy. And anyone that's willing to put in that initial effort in this industry can ultimately be successful. You know, you could even start with something like life insurance, where you can be selling to your own circle of family and friends. Life insurance sales right now are great because when the pandemic is out there and people are worried, they're scrambling around to get their finances in order and get their wills done and make sure that they have adequate coverage for their family in case something were to happen to them. So that's one field that you could start very easily in the side, just even doing it part-time to build up some commissions and renewals before you make the leap to full-time. So that might be a way that you could sort of get your feet wet to see if, hey, can I hack this? If I'm calling leads that have come in and I know that I'm going to get some no's and an occasional yes, and I'm hunting for the yes, do I have the mental fortitude to deal with the no's in order to get to the yes? And that would be a way that you could kind of test the waters to see if this type of industry might fit you long-term. It's a great industry for anyone that's got a hunter personality. I love hunting the sale. And there's a certain type of person that's really attracted to that. And it's not too hard to figure out if that's you or not. And even if it isn't, there's certainly other positions in the insurance field. A lot of companies hire customer service agents. I know we have client service people here. So there's different ways to go about changing to this industry, even if you're not a salesperson, that you could also consider.
And just for your company, do you just hire people in Texas or do you hire people all over? Like if someone wants to do it remotely, is this something that's like feasible?
There probably are some brokerages that do that for us. We need people to work right here in our Fort Worth call center, so we don't have remote positions. But I bet that there's a lot of companies out there that perhaps have been in a call center before that are considering changing that going forward because of this coronavirus and knowing that it could recur again, or it might even be something that's cyclical and comes around every fall. So I would be willing to bet that there'll be more positions available that you could work remotely than what we had before this happened.
And I know this is going to be very hard to answer, but if there's any way you can, typically if someone were to make a sale on sale life insurance policy, like what kind of commission range are you looking at?
So a lot of times with life insurance, you will earn 80% to 100% of the first year premium. So for example, let's say you sell someone a policy that's their premium is $100 a month. You're going to make about that amount of money the first year. So basically the life insurance company is giving you the whole first year because they want to gain all the years on the back end. So you could make $1,200 on that sale in your first year. A lot of companies allow you to advance that, which helps you to have capital to buy additional leads and continue to grow your business. And then in the second year, you're going to earn a much smaller percentage. It might be renewals of 5%. So with that product, it's a great product to get started with. It's going to give you a lot of upfront capital. It's not going to be heavy on the back end. Whereas in the health insurance field, you might be able to earn 20%. So if someone's paying an insurance premium of $150 a month, you could have a $30 a month health insurance commission come in, and you would earn that at least for the first year. In the Medicare industry, you earn it for many more years than that. So that is a little bit of a slower start because commissions are going to be smaller, but you earn them at a higher commission longer. And so as you start to investigate the different types of insurance that you could sell, you might put together a smorgasbord of them. I know when I started, I sold individual health insurance policies, group health insurance policies, and life insurance. So I had a little bit of all three going on, which helped in a variety of ways for us to grow the business. And those are different things that you should really investigate before you get started. Don't be afraid to ask those questions. If you're interviewing to go and work for an agency or a brokerage or an insurance company, you want to find out not only how much commission you'll earn on those products when you're selling them, but you also want to find out if you are going to work for someone else and you're not bringing in your own leads, you know, what happens when you leave? Do you keep any of those commissions for the policies that you sold? Do those belong to the actual insurance company? If that's the case, then you're just going in for the training and you're not going to take anything with you, but you're going to get a pretty good training experience that might help you to be more successful on the back end by yourself.
So let's say someone decides they want to go at it alone. We'll start there first. They get their license. What do they do first? Like, how do they find out what the different insurance options are? How do they have to connect with insurance companies directly to figure out which policies they want to sell? How does all that work?
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to figure out which route you want to go. When you get your insurance license, there's different types of licenses. So if you're going to do life, health, and accident, like I do, that's the type of, you'll be looking for a life and health license in your state. If you decide that you'd rather sell like property and casualty, which would be auto and homeowners insurance and business insurance, that's a different type of license. So you'll want to do some investigating ahead of time to figure out sort of which route you think you might like to go. Either way, you're selling products that people absolutely need. These are products that people will buy because they need to have health insurance, homeowners insurance, auto insurance. You can pick one of those routes and kind of go that direction. And then if you're not going to work, you know, if you're not going to be looking on job boards or an actual position where a carrier is hiring you with a base salary and commission, then you will get set up with what's called a field marketing organization. So for example, in this industry, there are a bunch of field marketing organizations out there that will offer you contracts with a variety of insurance companies. So we have one here right in Fort Worth that we have contracts with, and we go to them to get set up to sell various products like Mutual of Omaha and Cigna and Aetna health insurance. And so because you're a newer agent, you, instead of contracting directly with that big insurance company, most of the time that insurance company contracts with a field marketing organization, and that organization says, hey, we're going to bring you $5 million of premium business every year. What kind of contract can you give us? And the insurance company gives them a pretty high contract, like maybe they're earning 30% on all the policies that their agents sell. And then that field marketing organization in turn will contract you and they might pay you 20%. And so they're taking an override on that, but they're giving you a contract that you might otherwise not be able to get on your own. So if you go independent and you get started, there is a little bit of discovery that you're going to go through in the beginning to sort of figure out how that works. There's lots of blog posts that you can find online and even YouTube videos that would fill you in on how to find a good field marketing organization if you decide to go independent and you're going to do it on your own. You'll contract with one of those types of brokerages and they will help you get set up with a bunch of insurance companies. And the benefit to that is then when you're working with clients, let's say you're selling life insurance, you're not just going in with one policy. So if you get contracted with New York Life, you're only going to sell New York Life products. You're working for that company. But if you get contracted with a field marketing organization that sells New York Life and a bunch of other financial companies that all offer life insurance, then when you sit down with the consumer to talk to them about a life insurance policy, you can get their basic information and run some quotes for them and be able to tell them, hey, the best premium that I can find you for a $100,000 life insurance policy is with XYZ company. And so you're doing sort of a shopping for the policyholder or the potential policyholder that you're working with, and you're able to quote them a number of different insurance companies because you've gotten contracted with all of those carriers through the field marketing organization that you're working with.
That's extremely helpful. Do you happen to have any resources or anything that I could put in the show notes for people to kind of access on different types of field agents to, or companies to work with, or how to know who to look for or what to ask, things like that?
You know, there's a company here in Texas called Precision Marketing, and we have some contracts with them. They do a really good job on their blog of showing a whole bunch of different types of products that you could sell. And so checking out the blog that they have might be a good one. And then I would also check out YouTube. There's videos out there that you can find. You could type in something like how to sell Medicare supplement insurance or how to sell life insurance. And you could get a lot of great information. A lot of the companies that put those videos out are companies that also contract agents. So you'd be learning from some of the places that actually can offer you the type of contracts that you're seeking. And do some research to find out, you know, who offers contracts in your local area. If you live in Boise, Idaho, what are the places in Idaho that you could go to get those contracts? And that way you're heading in with a little bit of information. You're going to find out several different field marketing organizations. You can kind of choose among them, see what they offer. Don't leap at the first offer that you get. If someone offers you a contract, make sure that you do some research to find out, okay, this is one company I could go with. Let's see what some of the other ones are. You also can be with multiple of them. So, you know, you might find one company that offers you a better contract to sell Mutual of Omaha products, and a different company that offers you a lesser contract, but they've got a higher contract with Aetna. Well, then you could put one contract through one company and one contract through another. And that's also just fine because you all you're doing is shopping for who's going to pay you the highest commission for the products that you want to sell. And sometimes you might put all of your business with one field marketing organization, but you might also choose a few. So I would start by looking at the blog from Precision, and they've got great information there. I know that they do business in a number of states, and that could be a great place to get started.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. And I'll definitely put some of that information in the show notes. To work with one of these field organizations, do you usually have to pay a fee?
There might be some carriers where it require an upfront contracting fee. Like there are some carriers out there that will, you know, they want you to pay $50 to sell their product in Kansas. You know, like you could run into some small fees like that, but a lot of them don't have any contracting fees. So you can definitely get set up with a few carriers that aren't going to charge you to sell their products. And you can ask your field marketing organization if you're low on funds to say, hey, who can I get started with so that I have three or four carriers in my portfolio so that I can sit down with my life insurance client and offer them a few different products? You know, what are some companies that I can get started with that aren't going to cost me a lot? And they can give you that guidance. Even when you do have to pay to get contracted, those fees are usually not terribly high. So if there's one carrier that you really want, but they have a contracting fee, find out what that is, and you can decide at what point you want to add them to pay that fee.
Great. And then if someone were to go the route of working with a broker, what are some of the questions or what are some of the things that they should ask before picking a company?
You always want to know the terms of your contract. If you get contracted with them, one of the questions you want to ask is, am I captive or independent? So a captive agent means that you can only sell through that one particular brokerage and their products or that one particular field marketing organization and their products. So for example, my agents that work for me here in my call center, they can only have products through us that they sell on our sales floor. We don't allow them to have other contracts on the side because they're full-time employees with benefits. So, you know, the type of person that's attracted to come and work for us is somebody that really doesn't want to have an independent contract and have to worry about finding their own leads. They prefer, you know, a 9-to-5 job where they come in, clock into work, you know, sell the leads that someone else has brought in, but still earn a commission on those products. If they tell you independent, then you might be getting a bigger contract, but then it could be that that is an organization that's going to just give you the contract and they are letting you go and find your own leads on your own. So you're typically going to have a higher commission in that scenario because you source your own leads, which is fine for something like life insurance if you're going to start selling with friends and family. So that's one question. You know, am I captive or independent? And then another question would be, if I ever want out of this contract, what are the terms? It might be that you have to give a 3-month notice or a 6-month notice before they would allow you to move that contract to a different field marketing organization or a different brokerage. So those are questions to ask as well. Always read the fine print. Make sure that you understand how your relationship with that particular brokerage is going to go. Because a lot of times you start off in the insurance market and you learn some things along the way, and that may lead you down a different path. Just like we started selling the group and individual health, and now we sell Medicare. You know, it was important that I was able to transition that way over time. And so you might learn things. You might get started selling one type of product and then later want to go a completely different route. You want to know what the terms are on that contract for you to leave it. You know, if you want to sell that product through someone else or just stop selling it altogether, do you take any of those commissions with you when you go, or do they belong to the brokerage? And you have to decide then, you know, you'll be choosing the brokerages based on the terms of those contracts. So you want to know what those terms are.
That's great. That's great. Is there anything else that would be important for someone who's looking to get into this field to know or to think about or to ask?
The best advice I could give on that would be to talk to some of the insurance agents that you know. So you have a homeowner's insurance, you have an auto insurance, you probably have health insurance, disability insurance, there's accident insurance. If you think about it, through your circle of family and friends, you might know that somebody's spouse is a life insurance agent. Contact some of the agents that you have your own policies with and ask them questions. Hey, thinking about getting into the insurance field, you know, I know that you work for XYZ brokerage and you're able to quote me 5 different car insurances every year. How did you get started? How do you like it? Can you give me any pointers if I were to want to go the same way? Are you guys hiring? That's a great way to get started, just there in your own circle of people that you know. And call and ask them questions. You know, are you happy that you chose the property and casualty field? Or do you also sell any health insurance? Do you recommend I look at that option? Ask those people what they think about their own insurance jobs. And that may lead you to some conclusions on whether you want to do the same type of license as they did, or it might also make you come across some job opportunities. They might say, well, hey, by the way, I know our owner is hiring. And then you could get in touch with them about what those options are. So do some research in your own backyard to see what you can find, and that might lead you to what you want to sell.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And if someone were interested in getting started, theoretically, they could get started in like a month or two once they take the test and pass.
You literally could. I mean, I took my licensing class, I think was October, November of 2004, got my license in December, and I was selling products by January. Depending on how much studying you do for the licensing exam, if you're a big nerd like me, I studied for a few weeks and I didn't need to study that much. The test ended up being easier than I thought. But if you know, and I've had people here that do the 3-day class and take the licensing exam the next day. It just depends on how you learn, I guess. But you're going to put in a little bit of time there with studying for the exam. And then, of course, there's the time where the Department of Insurance is processing your application. But even while that's happening, while you've put your license application in, you could be looking for opportunities online. If you go to any job website and type in the word insurance, you will find dozens and dozens of listings and opportunities. So that's another great way that you could research what opportunities are out there while you're waiting for that license to come in. And you might find something that then gives you a lead on what direction you want to go.
And for someone who just wants to do this part-time, like let's say a mom who's maybe a stay-at-home mom and doesn't want to work full-time or want to do a ton, can they still make a decent income with this?
Yeah, you could really make it however much you want to be. I've known agents that get the license and they're selling products and they get up to selling, like, you know, they're selling enough to make maybe $40,000 a year. And then they just kind of stop actively pursuing new leads. They replace a policy here. They might work 15 hours a week and they earn that income on the side and they don't really want to go any further with it. You know, or you could go into it as a business that you want to grow and a career, and you can go for the long term and you could make 6 or even 7 figures someday, depending on how far you want to take it. So certainly if you just wanted to have it be a side income and never really take it further than that, that would be very easy to get up to a certain level and then you decide, okay, I've sold enough new policies. Now I'm just going to service my existing business. And occasionally when someone asks me about life insurance, I might make a sale here and there. You know, when you're working with products like these that people don't cancel all that often, you could get that income up to a level where you're really comfortable and then just leave it be. When you lose a policy, you might add a policy somewhere else. But I've known plenty of agents that do this part-time and earn a living that's just great. And then they golf or go shopping or play with their kids on the other days. And it's just great. You can if you want to.
Because my understanding is once you get someone on a policy, depending on the type of policy that you went through before, but it could become a passive ongoing stream of income because most people don't set it down. So as long as you do a couple of the, you know, maybe a couple of years front hard and then you kind of relax.
Yeah. You build up all those renewals and then you're just living on them. You just earn those and those are coming in and you don't have to work so hard anymore to gain new business. So it certainly is a career that provides a lot of flexibility that way once you get through the initial hard part of getting those first policies on the books.
And I'm just curious because, so let's say someone were to stay along those lines, if someone were to stay with a company though, can they still be, I guess, like on retainer if they don't do anything, but then still get the commission, or would the company typically let them go and then they would take, like, I know how you said before, depending on the terms, but what do you see as more of a standard across the field?
If the company is providing you any type of salary or base wage, then typically that company is owning those commissions. You might earn some renewals if the company allows for that. They may pay you a little bit of renewals each month, but the company is going to own most of that commission. Whereas if you are going in and you start this and you do it independently, you just have a contract through an organization, then you're going to own those. Those commissions are yours and you would earn them for the long term until such time that you terminate that contract. So the more the company gives you up front, the less you can expect to have on the back end. If you do the hard work yourself up front, then most of that is going to be yours on the back end. And those are the kind of questions that you want to know going in to ask them.
So the pros and cons really is just so I could just lay them out. If you don't like sales so much or you don't like the hustle of sales, and you're more of a hands-on learner, it might be better to go the route of working with a company because then you have leads, at least coming in, and you have maybe a base salary. So you know you at least have a minimum income also coming in. You know there's like a floor, but the ceiling's like unlimited, but then it's a job. Or if you are more entrepreneurial and don't mind the hustle, you do the work, but it's going to be really hard up front because you're going to have to go out there, find leads, network, figure it out. But then you can actually create some passive income long-term if that's something that you're really looking for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so it just really has to go with, like, you know, if you want to have the security up front, or if the bigger goal is owning more of your more commissions on the back end and you're willing to do a little bit of the harder work. So you could go either direction, whichever one you're more comfortable with. And there's going to be lots of opportunity for you out there.
I'm curious if any insurance companies are creating like a hybrid model to help someone up front, taking a piece of it, but then it's the individual who got it, the lead or something's commission. Like I know in other fields, they're starting to create these new models where, like in real estate, let's say, I know that some brokers will provide you with a ton of training, but then they just take a little bit of a commission and not like the whole thing. Or like there's like, they're trying to create new models now, essentially. So I'm curious in the insurance industry, if they're thinking more of kind of adapting or if these two kind of roads are what's out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of in-betweens. So you certainly could find those type of opportunities if you look hard enough for them. There are brokerages out there that may offer you two different types of contracts. If you the leads that they give you to sell, you're earning one commission, and leads that you bring in on your own, you're earning another. Those type of concepts probably exist out there on the in-between. And you could certainly scout for them to see what you find.
Awesome. Danielle, this has been so helpful. Before I let you go, can we quickly do our lightning round? I know you answered these questions in our previous episode, but I figured it'd be fun to see if they're the same or if they change.
Okay.
All right. Question number one is, what is one fun fact about you that not many people know?
Oh, wow. Let's see. I probably said that I'm an avid reader. I read like 3 books a week. I read everything from horror novels, which are my favorite type of fiction, all the way to business books, which are maybe boring to some people, but as an entrepreneur, I love to read them. So you can find me on most evenings and all day yesterday sitting next to my pool with my nose in a book.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you too. I agree with that. I love business books and everything as well. Well, question number two, who inspires you the most and why?
Wow. I remember who I said last time. I'm pretty sure. And this would be a good one for me to say on this too. There's a lady here in our industry. Her name is Galen Hendricks. In fact, she operates a field marketing organization here in Texas. It's called Senior Security Benefits. So if you ever wanted to go the Medicare supplement sales route, she's a great person to talk with. And she offers those type of contracts for independent agents like myself. And she has been in the industry for like 25 years. She's a multi-millionaire, extremely smart lady, really good business sales knowledge. Great networker, has maintained awesome relationships with so many different insurance companies. And it's a really good example to see someone like that who, you know, 25 years ago, insurance was really more of a man's world. And now you have this woman who started back then and has worked her way all the way into being this complete powerhouse in the Medicare supplement industry. And it's really inspiring to see someone that's taken it so far and see, I just had dinner with her and her family on Friday night and just see how that's benefited not just her, herself and her spouse, but also her children and her grandchildren. And, you know, now they're always jet setting to all over the world and they take the grandkids with them and they do all this amazing travel in Europe and they go to Disney World. And, you know, she's just really been able to build a lifestyle for herself that's completely her own. And to know that anybody could start back then when it was such a man's world in the insurance industry and get to where she has today is totally inspiring. I love learning from her.
That's awesome. Do you know if she has a website or anything that I can put show notes for people to like research her or want to look?
You know, they do have a website. Yeah. And I would be happy to send you that link so you can put it in the show notes for all your listeners.
That'd be great. Thank you. It's always great to hear about other inspiring women out there. And also, I'm just curious, you just triggered a question, kind of going back a little bit. For someone who is interested in getting an insurance, are there like scripts or like sales pitches or thing like resources also that people could kind of learn, especially if they've never done sales before?
Yeah, definitely. You can find those almost anywhere. If you contract with the field marketing organization, a lot of times they have sample scripts that they can give you, but you could even just Google them. I know that you could, you know, you could go and say how to sell car insurance and you'd be able to find scripts for the type of conversation you would have with someone on a cold call, you know, what you would say to them. And those are great ways to get started. And then you would just personalize it as you go to make it your own.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Well, going back to the lightning round. Question number three is, what books are you reading now or have read that you love and would recommend?
Okay. So oh, wow, this is good. So I have two books that I'm reading right now. The first one is called Not Nice. And it's a book about how to stop people pleasing, which is a really great read for if you happen to be that person in your family who's always the mediator and you're always trying to make everyone happy, which is certainly my role in my family. It's a great book for overcoming that. It's all about how to set boundaries and state what you mean what you say. And how that's a way to be very authentic. And I think in sales, you really find two different types of personalities. Personalities like mine that are a mediator type, we do really well in sales because we're used to negotiating. So it's been a benefit that way. But in sales, you also find the opposite type of person which is the example of my brother, who's my business partner, who's completely the opposite, always says what he means. Sometimes not very tactfully, but boy, you always know where you stand with him. Either of those personalities work really well in sales, but sometimes you need to be a little bit of the other one. And so I love books like that, that explore how to be, you know, how to grow your own person, your own success in an area that doesn't come naturally to you. So that book appealed to me when I saw it in the Barnes & Noble or wherever I was. It's got a great picture on the front of a happy face balloon deflated, awesome. Which is what attracted me to it. I thought, wow, this is probably a really interesting read. And it really is. And then the other book that I'm reading that I just started actually this weekend is called The Great Mortality. And it's about the Black plague in the Middle Ages, early Middle Ages, which is just an example of the type of historical reading that I love to do on millions of topics. Also, I usually can find me reading something from Stephen King, but since I don't have any new books that are out from him right now, somehow I found this book on my Kindle and I'm reading it. I love history. So I love reading all about how that particular pandemic, which is kind of what we're going through now, which is what made me interested in this book, and how it changed the face of the world and the ramifications of what came about from that were just really interesting to me. The reason I was interested in it and reading it is because of what we see going through now. And it made me wonder, you know, what type of long-term ramifications are we going to see from this COVID pandemic? And so if you like history, that book so far, I've several chapters in and it's fascinating.
Really cool. We really are living in a very interesting time. And I too am very curious to see what the fallout will be within the next couple of months even.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, the last question is, what is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you could tell our moms out there to help them on their financial independence journey?
I would say that you need to step outside your comfort zone. You know, you can do the same old thing that everybody else does, and you can put a little bit of money away in your 401k and can freak out when the stock market drops like it did recently. You can have just a normal journey, and that's fine. But if you have dreams of something bigger, if you want to go bigger, a lot of times the wealth that you see built in the United States are from people who own their own businesses. So it's a lot harder to get started in that upfront, but the payoff on the back end is really big. So if you think upfront, oh no, I could never sell something. I certainly couldn't do that. That would be too hard for me. I can tell you that I would have thought that at one time. I graduated with a journalism and English degree. I had absolutely no interest in sales. I would have never thought that I would do well in this industry, but I have. And it really appeals to me and I love doing it. So investigate something that feels a little uncomfortable to you to see if there's a way there that you might be able to build some wealth that's going to be different and hopefully better and bigger than just the average investing a little bit into your 401k for 40 years and then retiring. The opportunities to build greater wealth really do fall in the entrepreneurial realm. And it's one of the best ways that you can build a future bigger and better for yourself.
That is great advice. And I really hope now people start to open their eyes a little bit, because the typical 9-to-5 W-2 is not secure anymore. I mean, never really was,
yeah.
But I think even now people are realizing it, or hopefully realizing it. And even if you just to create some extra income, some cushion income, the more diversified you are, the more well-rounded you are, I think all the better.
Yeah, you're going to be able to survive something like this happening again.
Yeah, sure. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for coming on today's episode. You've totally opened up my eyes to a whole new world that I thought I knew, but really know nothing about. And just like some great opportunities, like who knows if, you know, life takes you, that could be just an awesome route for some extra income or even a full-time gig down the road. So I really appreciate you explaining everything and going into such detail. If my listeners want to connect with you further, how can they?
So we're pretty easy to find online. My company is Boomer Benefits. It's boomerbenefits.com. I also have a personal website with a lot of finance type stuff on it, and that's daniellekroberts.com. So they're welcome to check us out there. And I enjoy always, Jen, speaking with you. I love what you're doing for your listeners and providing this type of opportunity for them to learn more about the world of finance and how they can build a better future. So it's my pleasure to join you today.
Thank you so much. It really means a lot. I hear you say that. And I think you're doing some great work. And if anyone is interested in going this insurance route, I highly encourage you to try to connect with Danielle because she's really awesome and knows what she's doing and could be a great resource for you. So Danielle, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Alrighty, that wraps up another amazing episode of the Investor Mama Podcast. Wasn't Danielle so much fun and she's just such a chock full of information. I love this interview and so I hope you enjoyed it. And if you are thinking of going down this path of getting your insurance license, let me know. I would love to hear from you. And as I said earlier, just reach out and connect. I want to get to know my audience better. So please reach out. I really want to hear from you. I would really, really love it. And if you did like today's episode and my other content, please subscribe on the platform that you are listening to. And if you wouldn't mind leaving me a rating or review, if you do that, shoot me a screenshot and you can email it to me. I'd be happy to send you a free calculator as one of my little goodies. So again, just leave a review and send me a screenshot. You can email Jen, J-E-N, at investormama.com, and I will send you a free calculator. This is Investor Mama. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.